we honor you this morning. We thank you for bringing us together once again. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. I thank you that we can't trust in ourselves, but we can trust in you and you alone, Lord Jesus, and you've never let us down. You don't even know how to fail. And we honor you this morning, and we ask that you will open up our minds and our hearts to receive so that we can learn to trust in you, that we can hear your voice, God, and follow whatever you say. Despite what we may see or think or feel, if we hear you and follow you, then you have great plans for us. We believe these things and we honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning is going to come out of St. John, the book of John, chapter 8, verse 7. John chapter 8, verse 7. And what I want to talk about this morning is, I know a lot of times especially in the church or just, you know, being around people that go to church, we'll say things and we may not fully understand what they mean. I know I do it all the time. You know, whether it be a cliche or, you know, some kind of old school saying, and I might not understand it. But what God's really been speaking to me about this morning, because I thought I was going to be teaching about something else, but about 30 minutes ago, maybe 40 minutes ago, the Lord changed it. I'm going to be talking about this morning, there's only one way out. And what I mean by that is so many times in the scripture, God or Jesus will tell the children of Israel, he'll tell the people in the New Testament, listen, I'm the light of the world. Don't walk in darkness. And for so many years of my life, I thought walking in darkness meant only living in sin. I thought it meant not serving God, you know, doing drugs or, you know, doing whatever and doing my own thing. But here recently, God's been showing me that sometimes walking in darkness could mean that everything on the outside looks perfectly good. It looks like there's absolutely, you don't have a care in the world or a problem in the world. But if we're not listening to the voice of God and obeying the voice of God, then I would say that we are walking in darkness. So in John chapter 8, verse 7, a little bit of the backstory. This is a really, really familiar scripture, I'm sure, to most of us. The woman was caught in the act of adultery. Jesus told her, listen, go get your husband. She says, listen, I don't have a husband. He said, you said right, you've had many husbands before this. And there's all these Sadducees and Pharisees and other people around, and they're listening to see how Jesus is going to respond to this situation. And brothers and sisters, I have news for you, and whether you see it or acknowledge it or not, you have people in your life, I have people in my life that are sitting around watching how we're going to react to certain situations. When they announce that, you know, the dollar may collapse, you have people around you wanting to know, are you going to freak out with them? When they announce that China's doing this or the Soviet Union, Lord, when Russia's doing this or whatever it may be, or President Trump did this or President Biden's doing this, they watch you. They want to know, are you going to freak out? They want to know, are you going to be scared? They want to know, are you going to act exactly like they're acting? And I want to encourage each one of us this morning to know that we don't have to act like the world does. We don't have to be scared if the dollar collapses. Does that mean that we don't need to do certain things to take care of our family and friends and loved ones? Absolutely not. But it does mean that God has never forsaken his people. King David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And what that means is, listen, as long as we can stay in a relationship with God, then he will always provide for us and for our children and for our children's children. I believe sometimes when things happen in the world, it's an opportunity for you and me, for our families to act different. Because when we act different to things that other people freak out about or get mad or nervous or scared about, they have to ask us a question. And the question is, why are you so different? Why are you a peculiar people? And that gives you and me an opportunity to tell them about the goodness of God. So you have this woman in John chapter 8 right here. And Jesus is about to set her free. And while he's setting her free, I believe he is showing her how to walk out of darkness. I believe he is showing her how to get out of the sticky situation that she's in, because we serve a God that is a rescuing God every single day. Brothers and sisters, you don't have a situation in your life from addiction or depression or confusion or fighting with your husband or your wife or not having enough money, whatever it may be, my God can rescue you out of that. He's done it for me over and over and over again, and he's about to do it for this woman. But I want to show you that I believe the greatest only way that we can get out of darkness is by listening to the voice of God. And I'll prove it to you here in the scripture. Verse 7. So Jesus let me back up to verse 6. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I wish I had time this morning to talk to you, maybe one day we can, to what I believe Jesus, when he stooped down, what he wrote in that sand or that dirt, because I believe that's a powerful message. But what I want to focus on this morning is, listen, the only way for you and me to get out of the darkness that we're in, and I promise you, there is some level of darkness that's attacking each one of us. Because a lot of times we think that if somebody's has everything in the world going on for them, they have all the money they could possibly need, they have all the friends, their cars never break down, they never have problems at their house, then we all assume that there's absolutely no darkness they're dealing with. But I would argue on the contrary, it might mean that they fight darkness a little bit different than you and me. It might mean that they have two times the darkness attacking them, but they've learned how to heed to the voice of the living God. A few weeks ago, I went over to my friend Staceland and Lacey's house, and they have some little kids, and they have one little kid and some young ladies, and my two little kids, we went over there. And one of the games we played was I pretty much put my hat over my head, had a big Nerf gun, closed my eyes, and everybody had to stay in the living room area, and I just shot Nerf darts like crazy. I was in darkness. I just began to shoot. But one of the things that I was able to shoot some of the kids, especially my son, is because he walks like an elephant and he giggles all the time. So I would listen and I would hear Joshua giggle so I could instantly turn and shoot, and I hit him a few times. But the only way for me to get out of that darkness was to try to listen. But a few times I wasn't familiar with everything around me, so I'd have to open my eyes and I'd have to see it, see the ground, and obviously it was light in the living room. But the only time I could succeed at what I was trying to accomplish is when I listened. When I didn't worry about knocking something over, when I didn't try to cheat and try to open my eyes, it was when I listened. And here in the scripture, brothers and sisters, that the Sadducees and Pharisees are trying to convict Jesus. They're throwing every bit of wisdom they had at him. And the Bible says that when they were throwing these accusations at him, that he stooped down to write something in the sand as though he did not hear them. You see, we're either hearing God or we're hearing the noise of the enemy. There's not very much in between things that we're able to hear. And when I could sit there and rely upon my sense of hearing, I could hit my son or hit Jax or hit somebody with that Nerf gun. But when I tried to trust in other things that I have, I failed every single time. But when Jesus was, you know, all these people were accusing him. And no doubt if I would have been there, I would have been wanting to say, listen, don't say that to my Lord. Don't say that to Jesus. I would be trying to defend him. But Jesus, God in the flesh, the greatest way that he knew to walk in the light of men, because he was the light of men, was to shut off the sounds of the world. The Bible says that he stooped down as though he did not hear them. In other words, he ignored everything they were saying. I know a lot of women, especially my wife, might have that spiritual gift to ignore me when I'm talking about buying certain toys or whatever I may want, or the kids, you know, fighting for them. But he stooped down and he didn't pay attention to anything going on, because he knew that as long as it wasn't the voice of God, that there's no way it could mean anything to him. The Bible says that he stoops down and he writes something and he asks him a question and he says, listen, the one of you that's not sin, go ahead and throw that stone. Go ahead and kill this woman. Go ahead and do what you want to do, but make sure you do it as long as you've not sinned. And the Bible says that they walked away one by one by one. And all of a sudden the woman stood before Jesus, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, the woman that deserved death, the woman that should have been killed. She stood before the maker of the world. And he says, listen, they don't condemn you and I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. How in the world did this woman that no doubt had years and years and years of problems, she had all this pain in her life, I'm sure these men treated her like she was nothing. How in the world was she supposed to go and sin no more? Shouldn't Jesus have said, follow me for 6 months or a year? Shouldn't you stay close to me? Shouldn't you take one of my classes or be one of my students or whatever it may be? Because that's what I would have thought was a good idea. I would have said, listen, lady, you need to stay around and get a bunch of other women around you to encourage you and to strengthen you. And those are all good things. But Jesus told her, listen, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. How in the world was she supposed to do that? I believe because she could. I believe because she heard the voice of God. I believe she was in such close proximity to the Savior, to God himself, that is absolutely all the power she needed for the rest of her life to not do the things that she had done before. And brothers and sisters, I have good news for you and I. The Holy Spirit is the same thing that God gave that woman. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It quickens us. It sharpens us. It brings things back to our remembrance. And God is offering that to you and me this morning. We can get in such close proximity to God that if we're willing to listen to him, then he will bring us out of whatever darkness we're in. If you're in I was thinking this morning and talking to Alex, I'm sure a lot of you have been in like corn mazes or scary houses or whatever it may be. But I was thinking if you were in a maze or, you know, in some kind of situation where it was complete darkness, what's the only thing that you and me could do to get out of that situation unharmed? And some people may say, oh, I could try to touch my way out of it. Well, what if there were spikes on the wall or something that could cut you or shock you on the wall? That way it wouldn't work. Some people may say, but I could rely upon my memory. I could, when we walked in, I can remember my way out. But you and I know that when we're put in difficult situations, sometimes our memory can fail us. The absolute only way for you and me to get out of that situation would be to listen to someone that has the high ground. Listen to someone that has the ability to guide you and me out of it. Listen to someone that built the maze. Listen to someone that knows what's best for us. And obviously that's God. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I think living in darkness means that we have to be poor or we have to, you know, go through certain things. But I challenge us this morning, what about somebody that has everything? What about somebody that has money and God's telling them to tithe? What's the point? I have enough money. I have plenty of money. Sometimes I think that level of darkness is harder to get out of than somebody that may not have enough money. Because the person that has a lot of money is saying, why should I tithe? I have everything. And the person that doesn't have any money might be saying, I can't afford to tithe. But if we'll listen to the voice of God, He is the one that will bring us out. And when we're caught in a bad situation, what's the first thing you and me want to do? We want to trust our own instincts. When money's looking funny, I want to save as much money as possible. I go into save-a-lot mode, is what I call it. When a situation's coming up that it's a problem at work or a problem at an insurance company or whatever it may be, what do? I want to trust in my own abilities, because there's no doubt you and me have abilities. We have certain things that God's blessed us with in order to accomplish certain things that we need to. But brothers and sisters, when there's no way out, when we've tried it every other way, I believe God is telling us to listen to my voice. The Bible says that the sheep know his voice and another they will not follow. But why is it so hard to follow the voice of God? I believe it's so hard to follow the voice of God because it forces you and me to let go of everything else that we trust in. If I'm in complete darkness, I know that I could be hurt. So I want to trust in my sense of sight or my sense of touch or my sense of smell. But I know that if I want to get out of the situation, I have to trust in the voice of God. Brothers and sisters, I have good news for us this morning that no matter what situation you or me's in, our kids are in, if we can trust in God now, He can turn the whole thing around. This woman was in the act of adultery. She was embarrassed. She was downtrodden. She was dismayed. I'm sure she was depressed. I'm sure she had all types of emotional and physical abuse. But in a moment, in 30 seconds, she heard the salvation come to her. She heard the Savior say to her, "Woman, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." Brothers and sisters, when we can hear the voice of God tell us that we're loved, when we can hear the voice of God tell us that we're forgiven or that he wants to be in a relationship with us, when we can hear those things, then I promise you it'll encourage us and strengthen us. And that's how we can get out of the darkness that we're in. Here recently, I've been reading the book of Acts, and I go through there and I see Paul and Peter and John and all these great men and women of the faith. And I see these great acts of God that they did. I see these examples and I read about these examples of how they were able to fight and how they were able to cause miracles to happen. And I'm like, God, this is amazing. And God speaks to me and He tells me they listen to me. And I know it's a simple thing, but those of us that are parents, so many times when the kid about runs out in front of the car, or the kid gets hurt, or the kid doesn't have something because they forgot to bring it at school, or they get in whatever situation, what's the first thing you and me as good parents said? I told you to listen to me. Why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you hear my voice? Why didn't you obey? I told you this was going to happen. And I hear God speaking to each one of us this morning saying, listen, why are you not listening to me? I'm the only one that doesn't have an agenda. I'm the only one that can bring you out and restore you. Money cannot bring you happiness. More friends cannot bring you fulfillment. Your job cannot make you whole on the inside. But God is saying, if you'll hear my voice, if you'll heed to my voice, I'll bring you everything that you could ever possibly think or imagine. That's the kind of God we serve. But just like listening to the voice of God is important, I also believe we should follow the example of our Savior. And when these Pharisees and Sadducees and people were yelling these accusations at him, they were telling him he was nothing. The Bible says that he stooped down and wrote in the sand as though he didn't hear anything they were saying. In closing this morning, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage each one of us to be very, very selective in the people that you let speak into your life. I know you think everybody probably wants to help you and everybody probably has good things for you, but I promise you, people will let you down. People will disappoint you. People will not be there, not because they're a bad person, just because sometimes they can't be. But God is the only one that can fulfill you. But you have to ignore those voices telling you to do this or don't do that. If God's telling you to do it, then I encourage you to go forth. And I don't want you to merely walk, because when you're with God and you're in a dark place and you can't see anything around you and there's trouble on every side, God's not saying, listen to me and walk. God's saying, listen to me and run. And even further than that, God's saying, listen to me and fly. The Bible says that we are to mount up with the wings like eagles. We shall run. We shouldn't be faint. God's promising us, listen, if you'll listen to me, I'll be your protector. The Bible says that he will loose angels around us. Just like the mountains and hills surround to protect Jerusalem, God will surround to protect his people now and forever. What do you think this good book is? It is God speaking to us, telling us, why don't you listen to me? If you will listen to me, this won't happen. If you'll listen to me, this will happen. But I promise you, do not trust in your sight. Do not trust in your taste or your other senses. Trust in your spiritual ear to hear the voice of God. Because he wants to speak. You don't have to wait for your pastor to hear God. You don't have to wait for a prophet to hear God. You don't have to wait for that man or that woman on TV to hear God. God will speak to you. God will forgive you. And most of all, hallelujah, God will redeem and save you and tell you, I do not condemn you. Go forward and sin no more. It's the message of salvation. He tells us in the book of John, for God so loved the world, all these things he's telling us not to condemn us or to hurt us, but to encourage us so that when that darkness comes, because it does come, brothers and sisters, the enemy comes. I don't care how holy we think we might be and try to be. And those are awesome things. But the enemy does come. The enemy comes at us in many, many different ways. But when that enemy comes and darkness is all around you and you feel pain or you feel loss or sadness or whatever it may be, when the voice of God comes in like a roaring lion, that will be what lifts you and me out of the situation. And the greatest message that encourages me is to know that I sinned and I messed up and God is still there redeeming me. He's still there lifting me up. I hear you, Lord, saying you're forgiven. I hear you, Lord, when you tell me greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I hear you, Lord, when you tell me that a righteous man falleth seven times, but I got to get up again. I hear you, Lord, when you're telling me that you're a God of love. I hear you, Lord, when you're calling me a king and you're wanting to sit me in the heavens with you. This book is God talking to us, but we got to be willing to listen. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you this morning. I thank you that there is only one way out, and that one way out is you, because you are the light of men. You are the light. You're the bread of life, God. Everything that we need, you have. And God, I thank you that you have it, God. But more than that, I thank you that you want to give it. I thank you that you're a gracious God. I thank you that you're a giving God. I thank you that every day, God, your mercies are renewed daily for my life, for my brothers and sisters' lives. I thank you that every morning that we get up, you're there speaking to us, calling us to greater heights and deeper depths. I thank you. God, I've been like that woman. I felt condemned, Lord. God, I've been in pain. God, I've been in situations, but it was your voice. It was your goodness that brought me out every time. It's your goodness that's brought each one of us out every time. And I thank you this morning, God, that we are not worried with the cares of the world. God, I know that things are happening, but we trust in you because you told us that you'll never leave us or forsake us. In your word, what we hear you say is greater than any other reality we may see. We love you this morning, and by faith, we consider these things done, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.